Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 1 o'clock in D.C., which means it's time for the big one on Grant and Danny. And today on this Thursday on 106.7 The Fan, we turn our attention to the NFL ahead of Week 11 kicking off tonight. The Steelers and the Browns, 5-4 Pittsburgh, 3-6 Cleveland, your AFC matchup. The Browns lose, their playoff chances are dashed. They win, and they're back in the thick of things with a softer second half of their season. Huge, huge game in the AFC North as these two teams want to be considered contenders for the postseason. Let's go around the NFL, all the big news and notes with the best audio of the last 24 hours. We will start in Atlanta, where Colin Kaepernick is holding his workout for 32 NFL teams based on the NFL setting this up for him. He didn't have much say in it. His reps didn't get to tweak anything, but he'll be there on Saturday. Which teams will? The Atlanta Falcons, you'd like to think, will be there. It is their practice facility, after all.
You could send somebody there.
Their head coach, Dan Quinn, says yes, will be one of the teams involved.
Do y'all plan on having a representative there?
I'm sure that we will. No scout likes a workout better than a scout. Or who likes a workout better than a scout? Nobody. So I'm sure most teams will have people around. If you had a workout, there might be somebody that would show.
Good line at the end. Butchered his punchline at first. But his point is, there's a workout of a pro player in our building. We're going to have somebody there. He downplayed it, though. He didn't make it seem like they're particularly interested in Kaepernick or they want to see what he could do. Obviously, they've got a starter in Matt Ryan. Those are the types of teams I really don't see as a fit, where you've got a guy who's entrenched for now for the next couple of years. You're not bringing Colin Kaepernick in to be a backup quarterback to get requests for interviews from CNN.
Due diligence. That's what should happen. Teams should be sending scouts to this. Let's say he plays in the league next year. You want to have a scout that's got data points. Data is good. Everybody that ignores data is doomed to fail. Bring in all the data. There's no rule that says if you go, you have to sign the guy. Of course you go.
The Baltimore Ravens are 7-2. They have the second best record in the AFC behind only New England, 8-1. And they're the one team that beat the Patriots. Because of that, a lot of people are suddenly saying the Ravens are the best team in the National Football League. I've seen them number one on some power rankings this week. Their head coach is John Harbaugh. He's not surprised by where his team's at.
Nobody knows what's going to happen going forward, but I wouldn't at all say it surprises me or us. You know, I feel like we had that vision for them. We're just trying to win games. You know what I mean? We're just trying to win games. So any way we can with the players that we have, we really do like our players. We think we have a lot of talented guys. We love the way they fit. What we're trying to do. We like the way we're fitting what we're trying to do for our players. You know, I mean, that's really the issue. That's what we're trying to do. Every week's a different week, a new challenge. And really, that's what it is for us. I mean, all the big picture stuff, like, I appreciate you guys being here and asking the big grand questions, but we're not in the big grand answers right now. We're just trying to beat the Texans, you know, with the guys we got. And that's what our players are focused on. And anything else is just a distraction.
Ravens beat the Bengals by 36 last week, the Patriots by 17 the week before that, the Seahawks by 14 the week before that. Don't walk away from the table. You're on a heater.
They're good. They're getting better now, and that's kind of what's interesting about it. They found a way to skate by, beat some bad teams by an unimpressive fashion. A win's a win in the NFL, obviously, but now that their defense is starting to get healthier, their secondary is getting better. This is a group that doesn't really rush the passer that well, but they're finding other ways to do it. They put you in a bind. They make you one-dimensional by just squeezing you like a boa constrictor with the way their offense operates.
If you missed the Browns game this past week, they extended the relevant portion of their season by beating the Bills 19-16. Wasn't pretty, but they found a way. And they had a new wrinkle offensively. Kareem Hunt was back.
Yes.
He looked energized.
Caught a million passes.
He did. He looked super athletic and ready to go. So now the question is, how do you involve both he and Nick Chubb? Kickoff tonight, 8:20 against the Steelers. One of the big storylines going into the game. Second straight home game for the Browns and Kareem Hunt. Here's their head coach, Freddie Kitchens.
Anytime you can get guys that can do things with the ball in their hands, and then they also can play off of other people, that definitely impacts decisions, alignments, assignments, the way you get the ball to those guys changes. When you have more than, you know, a couple of options, it's always, from that position in particular, it's very, you know, it's very good.
I wouldn't mess with Nick Chubb a whole lot. I'd keep handing him the football and letting him work. But as far as a pass catcher, third down back, maybe a couple of wrinkles on some outside zone stuff, Kareem Hunt can play too. You want to get them both involved, obviously.
Yeah, I there's nothing wrong with that specifically, right? Chubb can catch the ball. I wish they did more of that, honestly, whether it's screens, whether it's swings, whether it's just a couple checkdowns, et cetera. But they've got some nice balance on that offense. Jarvis Landry had a huge week. He now leads the team in receptions and yards. Odell Beckham, quite frankly, needs more looks. You've got to find a way to design more stuff for him. I know defenses are trying to take him away. He's too good to only have 44 catches for 630 yards and one touchdown this season. He's too talented. You need more out of that guy. And I think that comes from opportunity.
The Dallas Cowboys beat the Minnesota Vikings 28—lost to the Minnesota Vikings 28-24 after beating the Eagles and the Giants in the division in consecutive weeks. Yet they got a lot of critics all of a sudden. Ezekiel Elliott has been talking about how they can shut some of those critics up. This is a team that has a good chance to win the NFC East. Will they? Will Philadelphia? Ezekiel Elliott is pretty confident in his mates.
Yeah, this is where we are. So, I mean, can't control what happened. All we can control is this Sunday, and just got to go out there and win a ball game. Go win Sunday, and you guys won't be too disappointed next Wednesday. So, I mean, if we win, you guys, we're the best team in the world. If we lose, oh, no. So, I mean, we just got to go out there and win.
The Cowboys are a plus 81 in scoring this year. The Eagles are just plus 11. If you're looking for some of the peripherals to see who's better, it's probably Dallas. Remaining schedules, the Cowboys have the Lions, Patriots, Bills, Bears, Rams, Eagles, Redskins. Pretty brutal rest of their schedule.
Well, so, but it's not as brutal as you would have thought maybe a few weeks ago, right? We thought Chicago would be better. We thought the Rams would be title contenders again.
True, but I still think the Rams is a toss-up game.
I do
Patriots,
too.
You're going to lose.
Uh-huh.
Bills is a harder game than we would have thought a month ago.
Yeah.
And so
birdies and bogeys there, I guess. You're right.
It's not easy. Here's your Eagles schedule, though. They play the Patriots this weekend at home.
Mm-hmm.
They lose that game. Then they got the Seahawks. They at least have this stretch of three games, though. Dolphins, Giants, Redskins.
That'll help you.
And in four of their last five, they play the Dolphins, Giants twice, Redskins, and the Cowboys. I think the Eagles have an easier remaining schedule. Who's going to win that division?
I still think the Eagles, because I think the Eagles are a better team. But I don't have the stats to back it up. I don't have any analytics to back it up. I'm just kind of going, I still feel like their ceiling is higher, just kind of confirming what I thought before the season started. But again, it's going to come down to one of these late season games, just because neither team really seems to want to take control of the division.
I mentioned that the Cowboys play the Lions this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Detroit's 3-5-1. They started out playing pretty well. They've lost two straight games, and they're in a really good division. I mean, as much as it's easy to make fun of the Bears right now at 4-5, that's an exceptional defense, maybe the best in football. Then you got the Packers 8-2, the Vikings 7-3. Tough sledding for Detroit. They got to get ready for Dak Prescott. This was Matt Patricia.
One of the things is watching him from last year, you know, when we played him early to this year, I think he's doing a great job at the line of scrimmage. You know, he's changing plays, he's audible, and he's making adjustments based on what he sees from the defense. And I would say his post-snap read of coverage is a lot better. He's doing a really good job of kind of deciphering some of the different looks that he's getting and really taking advantage of the skilled players that he has out there, the speed and some of the one-on-one matchups that, you know, are being created out there because of the run game and some of the different things that defenses have to do. He sees that stuff pretty quick now. I would say, you know, along with his athleticism and his ability to move and get out of trouble and extend plays, one of the things he's definitely doing is keeping his eyes downfield in those situations. And I think that's where some of those just big dynamic plays are occurring, because he's got a strong arm and can get the ball down there. So instead of just kind of maybe taking off and running from that standpoint, he's able to kind of keep his vision down there and get the ball out, which they've been very successful at doing that.
That's Matt Patricia coaching you up on Dak Prescott. We've talked about a few teams with good records that aren't actually that good, like Buffalo or maybe the LA Rams right now. There's also some bad teams that are better than their record, like Detroit.
They're not bad.
They're a pretty solid bad team.
If you are a running back for Detroit, since Barry Sanders, it just hasn't gone well. That may be the ultimate cursed position in the NFL. I don't mean cursed in a you know, like the way we think of curses. I just mean that they just can't seem to get one. They cannot seem to get someone to stick. Kevin Jones, Kevin Smith, Reggie Bush, Joyke Bell, Kerryon Johnson, the
good
latest.
Good call on Joyke Bell.
They cannot get guys.
How'd you pull Joyke Bell?
I have no idea how I remembered that one. But it's seriously, it's a litany of names. People that you can never think of, right? I have come and gone. And this year, they're now down to J.D. McKissic, who was after Ty Johnson, who was after Kerryon Johnson, who was supposed to change the position back to what it was. They just can't find a running game in Detroit. They
did Mac Jones ever play in Detroit? I feel like he did. Didn't he go there after the Redskins?
Ooh, that's
during
over
the Zach Zenner time frame?
I thought that he went to the Colts.
You just
he
Zach Zennered the Colts everybody, sure. By the way, casually.
Theo Riddick was another one. Me and Tommy were bouncing around there. Yeah, the running back position for them is... It is the Redskins. Would it be quarterback for the Redskins?
Yeah.
Safety, for sure.
Might be safety, honestly.
Safety's been there, Eleanor. At least have Landon Collins now. Hadn't helped as much as I would have liked.
No.
But he's been fine. Grant and Danny on the Fan. That's part one of our two-part trip around the National Football League. At 1:45 today, Evan Abrams with some odds and some of the ins and outs on the numbers out of Vegas on this week's games. You're listening to the Fan. Hey guys, Grant Paulson for my friends at Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush. I was telling you earlier about how great this toothbrush is. Here's what Quip has found out. If you have good habits, everything takes care of itself in your mouth. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes it really simple. With an electric toothbrush and refillable floss, anti-cavity paste, that electric brush has a sensitive sonic vibration, built-in timer. Every 30 seconds it pulses to tell you to switch where you're at in the mouth. Floss dispenser comes with pre-marked strings so that you get the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, toothpaste, refills to your door every 3 months. Free shipping as well. Your routine is always going to be right on point. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. Go to getquip.com/2019 right now. That's right, getquip.com/2019, and you'll get your first refill for free. The website is getquip.com, and the promo code is 2019. Quip, the good habits company. Week 11 NFL kicking off on Thursday Night Football tonight. Steelers and the Browns, some great games this Sunday, though. Perhaps no game, Danny, better than the Texans at the Ravens. A 1 o'clock start in Baltimore. Two MVP candidates. You have a ballot of five guys right now. I'm guessing that both Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson on the field quarterbacking their teams in this game are on that ballot. Watson talked about going head-to-head with Jackson. Tried to downplay it a bit.
No, I don't focus on their offensive side. You know, I focus on my job and you know, making sure I'm ready, making sure the guys around me ready to play, you know, execute at a high level. You know, I can't control what they're doing on their, you know, side or what, you know, Lamar got's going on. You know, I can't get caught up in all that. I just focus on, you know, my job and playing 60 minutes.
Texans are 6-3 with the Colts having now an injury to their backup quarterback. Luck retires. Brissett was playing pretty well. He's out. Now they've given the reins to Brian Hoyer. The Titans are on their second QB, Ryan Tannehill. They're playing better, but they're .500. There's no good team in that division other than the Texans. They should be able to run away with the South right now. That having been said, I don't know that people view them really as a Super Bowl-type team.
No.
They could make a big statement. If they go to Baltimore, play a great game, and win handily this weekend, they're 7-3, and so are the Ravens. They'd be tied for the second-best record in the conference.
Huge game for the Houston Texans. Huge. I think it's a big game for the Ravens, too, but this one's massive for Houston. Because you mentioned the Colts. They're limping along. They're 5-4. Could be 6-4 this weekend. I think they've got Jacksonville, a winnable game for them, regardless of who's a quarterback. Ravens, though, at 7-2, could be 8-2 with this one. Put some distance between them and everyone else for that 2 seed. Houston could be 7-3 or down at 6-4 with the muck, with Kansas City, with what Buffalo will probably end up being, with what Pittsburgh could be if they win. They could drop from the 3rd seed to the 6th seed, maybe lose a tiebreaker to be out of the postseason picture with this one, with many games to play, obviously, and a chance to make hay. But this is a massive fork-in-the-road game for Houston, a group that's banged up a little bit. They need Will Fuller back to add some dynamicism to that offense, and they don't have J.J. Watt for the rest of this year. They need to find a way to keep making plays on D.
I'll give you a fork-in-the-road game. Colts-Jaguars in the AFC South. Winner has a chance to stay in the hunt. Losers probably just on their way down, and the decline continues or begins, depending on which team you're looking at.
Yeah, especially Jacksonville.
Jacksonville probably needs it more. Now, one of the storylines, though, for the Colts is their kicker, Adam Vinatieri, who is 46 years old. He's got completely white hair and a white beard now.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost funny to look at him. He's 14 of 19 kicking field goals. Kicking extra points this year? I couldn't believe this when I saw this the other day. He's 14 for 20 on extra points.
Just so bad.
He's missing at least an extra point every single week now. And for some reason, the Colts have stood by him despite the fact that they're playing close games. They lost to the Dolphins 16-12. They lost to the Steelers 26-24. They beat the Broncos 15-13. Every game is coming down to 3 or 4 points, and they're standing by a kicker who's struggling because he's been great his whole career. This is the head coach, Frank Reich.
As far as Adam is concerned, Adam's our kicker. Chris and I have talked about the situation. We have confidence in Adam. You know, obviously, there's been other kickers in here working out. We have the confidence in Adam. He's not just our kicker. He's a leader on our team. He's a captain. His presence is important. We feel we need him going forward and have the utmost confidence in him.
I'm not sure I buy that a kicker can really, like, be one of the most important guys in a locker room.
It's awkward. Because if it is, you're in a bad place.
To Dustin Hopkins, you know, seriously, I mean, you can't risk losing him in the locker room, the kicker of the team. He's one of our leaders. He's a captain.
Two things are true. Hall of Famer, and he's not good anymore. This is important. This is not a feel-good business. If this was a team that was going to win one game this year, yeah, have a sentimental story, give him his farewell tour. You're fighting for your playoff lives without Andrew Luck. You're trying to salvage something. I can't trot him out there anymore. He's killing them.
They need Jacoby Brissett, who is expected to play this weekend, to bounce back. And to be healthy, because the Jags defense is going to come hard, and they got to get that win. And ideally, don't leave it on his foot. Also, don't tell me you're confident in your kicker when your kicker is watching other guys come into the building constantly to work out to try to take his job. If you were that confident in him, you wouldn't be working out a bunch of kickers. Let's go to Jacksonville, the other side of this matchup, and to Nick Foles. Nick Foles is back. The Gardner Minshew show, at least for now, over. The curtains have closed. They'll reopen with Foles, first time since week one, leading this team down the stretch, and he's very proud of how Minshew played when he was out.
I'm grateful to be healthy and be back with those guys. I'm proud of Gardner for everything he's done. He's a tremendous player. He's been amazing in the QB room, and I've really enjoyed watching him play and develop as a young player because I was once, you know, him playing as a young player, and to see him play at the level he has is been amazing. He's just going to continue to grow and have a bright career, so I'm excited for him. I'm excited I get to work with him and Josh in the QB room, because that's a huge part of a QB success is that room, and it's not talked about enough. Is, you know, the guys that are in there, we go through film study, we go through preparation on the sidelines, going through everything together with Scott has been huge, so I'm grateful for them.
Foles had only thrown 8 passes as a Jaguar, 5 completions for 75 yards and a long touchdown before he broke his collarbone in week one. So now he returns to replace Minshew, who was very good. Gardner Minshew on being benched.
Gardner, how would you describe your reaction when Doug sat you down and told you that he was making the change?
Perry, I was disappointed a little bit, obviously, you know, because everybody wants to be that guy in the huddle. But you know what? If you'd have told me in the beginning of the year that I'd get to play half a season and then be able to learn, I'd have said I'll take that deal 100%. You know what I'm saying? So I got a lot of good experience, and I'm also going to be able to learn from one of the best dudes in the business.
He's a bro, man. He's probably wearing Sperry's with no socks and just chilling there in his khaki shorts. 13 touchdowns, 4 picks, a 92 rating for Minshew.
You want to see me throw that ping pong ball in that cup right there, make him drink that beer, watch this. Boom! Like, yeah, that's the kind of guy Gardner Minshew is. But to Foles, I think he's right. Doesn't Foles seem like the best guy? Doesn't he seem like a really awesome dude?
Yeah,
to be
by
around?
All accounts, he is. And like a great dude.
I think in a non-Andy Reid, sort of an Andy Reid tree offense, he's pedestrian. And we've got some sample to prove that. Just a theory that I've been kicking around for a while. So I don't know that he's ever going to be that good again outside of the nest that Andy Reid / Doug Peterson provided for him. But an easy guy to rally around.
The Rams are 5-4. I think people had assumed maybe they'd snapped out of their little slumber at one point. But if you look at who they've actually beaten since playing better, it's bad teams. They got beat by the 49ers. They got beat by the Seahawks. Then they pummeled the Falcons, and they throttled the Bengals. They lost to the Steelers without Roethlisberger now. They play the Bears on Sunday Night Football this weekend. Angie Goff is their quarterback.
Yeah, you try to keep the mood positive at all times, and I think Sean does a good job of that, and we follow, and as players, we
you know that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what you get a chance in this league to do every week is play. And you know, unfortunately, we didn't get it done last week, and you never want that to happen. But every week you get another opportunity, and this is another great one on Sunday Night Football against a great team and at home in front of our fans, which we haven't been home in a while. And there's a lot to look forward to, and we're excited about it.
Huge question surrounding Jared Goff after his performance on Sunday against the Steelers. 11 touchdowns and 9 picks this year. He got paid all the money this offseason. And right now, 1-to-1 touch to pick ratio, 82 rating. He's been a bigger problem than help. A big part of their issues, their offensive line, but Goff has not looked good.
Yeah, oh my God, are they in trouble? I mean, you looked up and down the list here of the different injuries and things. A year ago at this time, they were thought of as the example of shining light, right? Where you have a rookie quarterback, cheap money. Then you look at the rest of the roster as it's built up, and this was the perfect recipe. Now they're a cautionary tale. Having paid Goff, having paid Gurley, a bunch of injuries, underperformance. Next thing you know, this is the don't be like the Rams. Whereas last year, everybody's copying everything they did, from their young, handsome head coach to trying to win with a rookie quarterback.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. At 1:45, Evan Abrams of the Action Network is going to join us. Next, are the Redskins going to beat the Jets? What's your early gut feel on that game? We'll give you the updated spread. The Jets are bad, man.
So bad.
This has to be a win, right? If you don't beat the Jets, how many games are they going to win the rest of the way? We'll get to that next on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 1-0-6-7, The Fan with you until 2 today. The Redskins and the Jets on Sunday. Danny, I need an updated total and then an updated betting line. I have not seen them. I will make my predictions. I saw the original total, and I saw the original betting line, so I know I'll be close.
Give me a moment, please.
But I assume there'd be a little bit of traction one way or the other on the game on Sunday. By the way, if you're going, it's probably going to be chilly. God bless you. I love you for it. We need more of you.
Tip of the cap.
People who are supportive of the local teams, no matter what.
I can tell you, I will not be going. And if you are, Godspeed.
You wouldn't be going if they were playing a conference title game and it was 73 degrees.
If they were 8-1, I wouldn't be going.
Right.
All right. So what do you think it is?
So the original betting line was the Redskins -1.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that has moved to, I'll say the Redskins are now -1. How's that?
Depends on the book. It's basically stayed at 1.5. Over-under's 38.
Has it?
Yeah. It's
okay.
It's all kind of sniffing in that same region.
So
I've seen two.
Still
I've seen
39?
One. I've seen 1.5. 38.5 is your over-under.
So they're thinking a 20-19, 20, like 20-18 kind of game.
And I think that's too high scoring for this group.
I don't. Remember what your boy is calling.
You've called for 2 touchdowns. You've openly said on this radio program you believe 2 touchdowns will be scored by the Washington Redskins. Their first since early October.
Tommy, I need you to get ready to play something, okay? I need you to have your little fingers ready to go. On Sunday, the Redskins will score 20 points. The Jets will only score 17.
Outrageous claim.
And the Washington Football Club will emerge victorious. I've got a feel.
You got a tingle?
I've got a little something. Game ball. To the defense and to Matt Ioannidis, 1.5 sacks. Ryan Kerrigan has 1.5 sacks. Jonathan Allen has 1 sack. Deron Payne gets 1. Everybody feasts. The Redskins, they run the ball for 116 yards with Adrian Peterson. He rushes for a touchdown. Dwayne Haskins throws for .157. And he throws a touchdown, the first of his career. 2 whole touchdowns in 1 game. 2 Dustin Hopkins field goals, 1 after a Sam Darnold turnover and a short field. And the Redskins and Bill Callahan are winners again.
See, we got this thing down. We're 2-3 since we fired Jay. We're playing better. We're close. Damn good culture. Jamison Crowder revenge game, my friend. You sleep. You sleep
you
on the Jamison Crowder revenge
off.
Game. I think he gets plenty of targets and catches.
I got J-Mo 8-for-78. I got him going 8-for-78 in the game. I think he has his numbers. If you want to play him in DFS, Dom's got 82 lineups. Dar's got 71 lineups. They should all have J-Mo all over the joint. But he doesn't make big plays down the field in this offense. It's a lot of Trey Quinn drag and cross around to the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
But
I've seen it before.
It will be nice, by the way, for all of you very loud people who told me how much better Trey Quinn was than Jamison Crowder. Please watch what a good slot receiver looks like. It's not the same.
You'll notice it. He'll be wearing, what color are the Jets wearing, white or green?
He'll be wearing white and green, wearing number 82, which no wide receivers do anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the teens. And he'll be the guy catching all the passes.
You'll see a bunch of checkdowns to Le'Veon Bell, I think, early and often if they're smart. If you try to run against the Redskins, I think you're doing the Redskins a favor. But if you swing it out to them and make linebackers cover and make them keep them honest, I think you're doing the Jets a favor. You'll be smart there with offense. I don't know the difference in the game necessarily, but I think it's Robbie Anderson going deep maybe a time or two. He's like their version of Paul Richardson, but maybe a little bit better. He's very slender. Does not look like an NFL football player without pads on, right? But he's very skinny. Good feet, good hands. I think he goes deep and burns the Redskins for a deep touchdown. Josh Norman will be trailing by 15 yards on the play.
You know what we haven't talked about enough?
Huh?
What a disappointment Paul Richardson has been.
He's gotten off scot-free.
Why isn't this just a topic at some point? They paid him the Pierre Garçon contract.
Uh-huh.
He got $40 million to come here.
Stings the nostrils. When you
and
say
they
it.
Paid him as if he was going to be, I don't know if he was going to be a number one, but at least a huge playmaker, a guy who was legit, you know, who changed games, who made plays and, you know, made first downs, touchdowns, and used his speed to get behind people. What do you think his longest catch of the season is right now?
This year?
Yeah.
18 yards.
How about 22 yards?
Oh, all right, we got something.
He had a 46-yard touchdown where he was underthrown by a mile by Alex Smith last year against the Packers.
It's a great play. I remember that play.
He fell to the ground to come back to catch a terrible pass from Smith, got up and still scored somehow at FedEx Field in September.
Was that worth $40 million?
Caught 20 balls, started 4 games, played in half the season.
His best catch, I thought, was that one in New Orleans. It was right in front of us when Christian took us, where he jumped and you go, oh, he jumped too early. And he stayed up there and stayed up there and stayed up there and made a catch in traffic. And you went, great play, Paul.
I'm not joning. It's going to sound like I'm joning. That's the one thing you always mention when we talk about Paul Richardson.
It's a great catch.
That catch made such an impact on you.
It did.
Now, I will say, I wasn't sitting with you, so I didn't get to see the angle that you saw.
I'm telling you, it was a great catch.
I was up in the press box. And
it's one of his 20.
It just looked like another catch to me. But I promise I'm not joning.
It's a joke. I don't mind it.
I'm just observing. For some reason, you're like a little kid who saw your dad do something cool. That catch made such an impact on you. You always mention that catch.
There are two catches that I remember. The underthrown touchdown by 15 yards.
That's
and he came back and got
that's
it.
That's my one I mentioned.
And then that catch in New Orleans in a game where they lost by 1,000. And it was the, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Brees. And he got to set the record to whoever he wanted.
The next day, we went on the air from Brennan's, the delicious place where we ate all of our wonderful food in the French Quarter.
That's right.
And the first thing that you said, I remember, we were talking about the game and the Saints
here
just
are
won
the
by
positives.
1,000.
Yeah.
And the first thing you said was, did you see that catch by Paul Richardson?
It was great.
I've never seen anything like it. You loved that catch.
It was a great catch.
I want to go back and watch it. I remember it being just like a guy catching a football. So basically, how do you remember it? That's what I want to know.
So it looked like the throw was too high, and it looked like he jumped too early. Right?
And he just hangs in the air for several seconds.
He hung in the air for way longer than a human being should be able to and kind of kept extending himself, hauled it in, and got smashed.
I've got to find it.
Great play. Great play by Richardson. But my point is, the memories are very few and far between.
47 catches. Less than 550 yards in now 16 games.
It's just ridiculous.
Over two seasons. No, but because he missed a lot of time last year, we're now at exactly 16 games. 47 catches for a little over 500 yards and 4 touchdowns. Hadn't been horrendous.
But kind of horrendous.
But that's what you get out of like a fourth round pick maybe rookie.
This is what normally happens when the Redskins think they know better than the other team. So sometimes they get it right. Pierre Garçon, they were right about. They knew better than the Indianapolis Colts. And they spent big, and they said, that guy could do more than he's been assigned to.
You know who that was, by the way? That was a Kyle Shanahan complete operation.
Really?
Stood on the table and screamed as loud as he could to anyone who would listen, this is my ex-receiver, bring me this.
So when this guy's never been better than the number 4 in Seattle, he was the number 3 with some injury in terms of options, and you paid him to be your, what, number 2? Maybe it's sort of 1.5, kind of the way that Jay Gruden runs his system? Yuck. Yuck, what a swing and a miss that has been.
Evan Abrams of the Action Network joins us next. We'll get the betting lines on the Browns and the Steelers tonight. Look ahead to some of the other games and not just talk NFL. We'll hop to some other big news of the day around the sports landscape. Before we get out of here at 2, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny won't tell me what he wants to talk about, but he's got something he wants to analyze from his life.
Yeah, it involves you.
It does.
It intimately involves you, if I can say that.
Wow.
Intimately.
Intimately. That's something. We'll do that before we get out of here. Right now, though, Evan Abrams is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline, and he's with us, sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app. Get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Evan, thanks for the time as always, pal. How you been?
I'm good. Heck of a way to come on. Seems like you guys got some stuff to talk about before you go to break.
I got some stuff to work out, man.
Yeah, we've got a few things brewing, I believe. Before we get to the NFL and tonight's Thursday night football game, there are a few things in college football that are wacky to me I want you to take a swing at. Starting with Minnesota after their huge win beating Penn State. They're playing in conference again against Iowa, and they are dogs by, in some places, I'm seeing +3 against a team they rank higher than. How common is this? What is this disrespect for Minnesota, do you think?
Okay, so there's a few angles to look at with this one. Some perspective. The last time a 9-0 or better team was a dog in the regular season versus a 3-loss team was 2012 Ohio State. Wow. They did it against Wisconsin. Ohio State won the game 21-14. It's been a while since you've seen this type of dog in this spot, especially undefeated. Now, when you look at it from a Vegas and CFP point of view, Minnesota is eighth in the CFP rankings. Right now, according to Circa, which did a odds makers top 25, they have Minnesota at 19th, and our power ratings have them at 23rd. So it's really about who they've played and the type of team they are and the reason they're three-point dogs in Kinnick.
Best college game of the weekend for you in terms of the odds that you like the most and or something that stands out other than that Minnesota game? What do you got?
The story of the week is the Ohio State-Rutgers game. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's betting it. It's the second most bet game on the board, and it's a 52.5-point spread. Nobody. We haven't had a 50-point spread on the road in the last 30 years. So this is absolute history, and people are lining up. 82% of the tickets on Ohio State. It's gone up 2 points, if I can even, you know, begin to talk about it.
Wait, so hold on. So you're saying 18% of people are picking Rutgers?
Correct. Right
now,
that
seems nuts. 82%.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. It's one of the most public plays of the week. Literally, when you sort the entire 45 games on Saturday, it has the third most, Ohio State has the third most tickets. So people are lining up to bet them. And the trend that people are looking at here, they're -31.5 in the first half. They're 10-0 against the first half spread this year. So Ohio State has been trucking people going into the half.
Evan, let's go up a level here for the NFL. I've seen a couple lines that have started one way and then changed kind of throughout the week. Looking at Atlanta-Carolina. Carolina's still a favorite, but less so than they were when they opened. And then same with, looks like, what, the other one I had, Buffalo and Miami. I've seen that bet down a little bit as well. Go into those games.
Sure. Atlanta-Carolina is a fascinating one because it's a week-to-week league. You just saw the biggest upset of the season, and people want to back that. Coming into this week, you think Atlanta's different. You think Atlanta's a different team. That's why it's gone from 7 to 5.5. But to me, this is the stat I look at. Atlanta's just in a bad spot. It's hard to do back-to-back upsets. When you win as a touchdown underdog and you play on the road, teams are 5-30 straight up since 2014. It is tough to get up back-to-back weeks. I think Carolina is probably the right spot, but I like the under. And then the other game you were talking about was Buffalo-Miami. I actually really like a side here. I think Buffalo is the right call. This spread was 17 4 weeks ago. Buffalo should be about double digits. I understand Miami's covered 5 weeks in a row, but this spread just should not be that way. Buffalo's pass defense, 10th in DVOA, it allows literal to nothing in the air, and that should really hold. And then you would say, okay, Miami run the ball, but that's Buffalo. Miami can't do that. Miami's not 27th in run defense in terms of Buffalo, but Miami doesn't run the ball. So to me, it should be higher, and it's a little bit odd on that spread.
Evan, always love having you on, man. You make us smarter. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Evan Abrams of the Action Network. Again, if you're looking for an edge, you can download their app, get live odds, expert analysis for every game. All right, you wanted to do a psychoanalysis. I don't even know what that means.
So here's what happened. Yesterday, I left promptly, had some stuff to do, and I'm in the garage, and I'm leaving, and Grant sees me, and you stopped me, right? You made a wave, you made a joke about working out. You know how you don't like the idea of napping at work because somebody might see you. And everyone's like, that's weird. Why do you care if someone sees you napping?
Yeah, that's my biggest fear.
That's how I feel when you catch me on days that I'm not working out.
Really?
Yes. I felt shame and guilt because I didn't, it's not important. No one cares about my dumb life, but I didn't sleep very much.
I thought you had practice before. With the Wolfpack.
No, it was going to be too cold. We weren't going to practice. I was just going to go home and see if I could catch a few Z's. But when I leave and don't work out and you catch me in the parking garage or somewhere else, I feel a little bit embarrassed and a little bit shame.
Even though I don't work out.
Right. It's not as bad as if you say caught me, taking myself on a home inspection tour. You know what I'm talking about? If you walked in and me doing something bad.
For the sake of the show, I'll just say I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, everyone does it, but it could be
embarrassing.
Why would
I walk in on you doing that?
Well, let's just say I thought I locked the door and I didn't, and you walked in.
Where are we ever going to be?
Don't worry about it. I'd be embarrassed by that. It's not that bad, but it's closer to that than if we just said bye and then you didn't say
it. You're kidding.
I get so embarrassed.
So you were ashamed
by
that?
Yes, I was ashamed.
Really?
I was I'm ashamed.
That's hilarious.
Another thing that Danny gets ashamed by is if you catch him plugging his car in the garage. If you catch him plugging it in or unplugging it from the wall, he gets very skittish and tries to run away.
Is that the case, Danny?
I don't know about that. I talk about it on the radio. I love plugging that thing in. I love not paying for gas.
But I think when someone sees you.
Catches me doing it.
I think you have a little bit of shame.
Interesting.
Where's the shame bell?
I know. It's over here. There's the shame bell.
Shame.
Shame.
I don't think you're shamed by that. You see that car and you love that car.
Yeah, I love that process, but it is a little weird to be seen doing it. It is. I will admit that it's weird to be seen doing it. Like, Grant, plug in your car, huh? I'm like, yeah, yeah. It's not as much shame as I feel, though, when Grant catches me not working out. I don't know why.
Well, I loved my bit yesterday.
I get embarrassed.
So I get down to the parking lot and Danny is flying around the corner. I don't even know how you were already in your car.
Well, I, instead of hanging out and talking, I don't talk. I just go.
Okay. I mean, but I feel like I was yesterday, same thing today. I had somewhere to be at 2:45. So that was as quick as I could possibly have gotten downstairs. And Danny came hauling ass around the corner.
Yep.
And so I see him and I just kind of jump out of the way so I don't die. And then also wave. And I said to him, I go, you put your window down. And I said, I thought we were doing arms and back today. And it was just a throwaway comment. I didn't mean to make you feel anything.
No, I'm telling you, when you catch me, I feel embarrassed.
You thought about it the whole way home.
Yeah, and I realized this would make good show content because I felt embarrassed.
Grant and Danny on The Fan, thanks for listening. As always, guys, thefandc.com is where you can go, or grantanddanny.com/audio to get podcasts. We'll be at it again tomorrow on a Football Friday.
Our watch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.